بالله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. أما بعد، إن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به وأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. إن شاء الله تبارك وتعالى we're going to do Chapter 35 of Al-Imam An-Nawawi's book, Riyad al-Salihin. In Chapter 35, he entitled it, Bab Haqq al-Zawji ala al-Mar'ati, the right that the husband has over his wife. And in the next class, inshallah, we're going to do the chapter of the right that the wife has over the husband. Al-Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he begins the chapter as he usually does by bringing an ayah from the Quran. In this case, he brings the ayah in Surah An-Nisa, ayat number 34. قول الله سبحانه وتعالى الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله بعضهم على بعض وبما أنفقوا من أموالهم فالصالحات قانتات حافظات للغيب بما حفظ الله. Verily the men have the قوامه, they are قوامون over the نساء, and that is because Allah has honored them over them as a result of what they spend out of their money. So the righteous women are the obedient women, the ones who protect what Allah would have them to protect. This ayat clearly establishes that the qawama has been given to the man by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have a hand over the woman. There are many other ayats of the Quran that establish this, that the upper hand in the relationship and in the institution of marriage, it has been given to the rijal. And the reason for that is because of what they spend out of their money, that the men are responsible for providing for and for maintaining their wives. As a result of that, the women who are righteous, they are the ones who are obedient and thankful to their husbands for providing and spending. This nafaqa, or this infaq of this ayat, this spending in this ayat, is in two ways. Number one, it's talking about the dowry that the man gives to the woman when they want to get married. The dowry that the man gives to the woman when he wants to marry her. The other thing is, after getting married, it is the sole responsibility and the duty of the man to provide for his wife in a way that is honorable, in a way that is reasonable. And it was from the sunnah of our Messenger and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that His women never asked him for anything, that if he had it, he would give it to him. But if he didn't have it, then he wouldn't give it to him. The first hadith that Al-Imam An-Nawawi brings in this chapter is the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And that is that Abu Huraira said that he heard the Prophet say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا دَعَى رَجُلٌ رَأَتُهُ إِلَى فَرَاشِهِ فَلَمْ تَأْتِي فَبَاتَ غَبَّانَ عَلَيْهَا لَعَنَتْهَا الْمَلَائِكَةُ حَتَّى تُصْبِحَ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ لَهُمَا إِذَا بَاتَتَ الْمَرْأَةُ هَاجِرَةً فَرَاشَ زَوْجِهَا لَعَنَتْهَا الْمَلَائِكَةُ حَتَّى تُصْبِحَ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ والذي نفسي بيده ما من رجل يدعو امرأته إلى فراشه فتأبى عليه إلا كان الذي في السماء ساخت عليها حتى يرضى عنها. These hadith have been collected by Imam al-Bukhari and they have different variations. The first hadith that Imam al-Nawawi brings in showing the right that the husband has over the wife is that Abu Huraira said that he heard the Prophet say, alayhi salatu wassalam, if a man calls his wife to the bed in order to have relationship and she refuses, and as a result of that he goes to sleep angry with her, the angels remain angry with her, or they curse her until she wakes up. That hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. And there's another variation of that hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, and that is the statement that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if a woman refuses and she makes hijrah from the bed of her husband, the malaika curse her until she wakes up. Now this second narration here, if the woman refuses and she makes hijrah from her husband's bed, the malaika curse her, it's similar to the first. And then he brings the third narration in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam swore by Allah ta'ala by saying, I swear by the one whom my soul is in his hand, there is not a man that invites his wife to the bed to have relations and she refuses, except that the one who is in the sky becomes angry with her until her husband is pleased with her. Until the one that is in the sky becomes angry with her until her husband becomes pleased with her. And these hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, they clearly establish for us a lot of issues. The first of which, ikhwan, is that it shows the obligation of the ta'a, or the obedience that the wife owes to the husband, especially in the issue of being invited to have relationships with her. And she cannot refuse to have relationships with her, with him, unless she has a legitimate Islamic reason. And her being on her menses is not a legitimate Islamic reason. Because we know from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, any time one of his wives was on her menses, he would tell her to tie the izar around her waist, and he would yastamti'u biha. He would enjoy everything other than that. So even if she was on her menses and the husband invited her to the bed, he has the right given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even during her menses, to enjoy her. But if he was to order her, obviously, to have the complete and total relationship, she shouldn't obey him, following what Allah ta'ala and his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has commanded her to do, and that is not to obey the creation when it entails disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Also, ikhwan, from this hadith, of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu is that it clearly shows that it is an obligation upon the woman to help and to assist her husband in protecting his religion. It is an obligation that the Muslim woman does whatever she can possibly do in order to help to maintain and to preserve her husband's deen. Because here in this hadith had the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam not been trying to teach this lesson in such a tremendous bab, so the hadith shows that it is an obligation on the woman to help her husband to preserve himself in his deen and to do whatever she can possibly do to make him of those people who are radin or happy. She has to try her best to secure her husband's happiness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is angry with her, and the malaika in the sama are angry with her until her husband is pleased with her. So clearly it illustrates for us that she has to do what she can do in order to obtain and secure the happiness and the good pleasure of her husband. Not only in this issue, but in other issues as well. Also the hadith, the legislation of this hukum, that Allah's Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it a one-way street, that it is an obligation on the woman if her husband invites her to the bed, she has to come. He didn't make it opposite. He didn't make it that the man was sinning if the woman invited her to the bed. It's a one-way street. If the husband invites the wife to the bed, it's an obligation upon her to answer the invitation. This legislation proves that the rijal have less sabr, according to the ulama, that the men have less patience when it comes to having relationships than the women do. That if a man was forced to go without having relationships, it would be more difficult upon him than it would be upon the woman if she was forced to go without relationships. And that hukum is in general terms. It's not always the case, but generally this is the case. So we find the hikmah in this legislation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam made it a one-way street, that if the man was to invite his wife to the bed, it's an obligation upon her and not the opposite. So from that the ulama understood, and they took from that, that in most instances, if the man was forced to go without having relationship, he has less sabr on that issue than a woman who would be forced not to go without relationships. And there are other adillah that clearly prove and establish that in the Quran, as well as the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. From the fawaid of this hadith, the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, is that the hadith clearly shows us that the malaika of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, they make dua against the people of al-ma'asi. The malaika, they supplicate and they make dua against the people who fall into ma'asi. So people who are given to sin. When we sin, there is that type of sin that the person should not be fooled into thinking that all he's doing is he falls into a sin. There are certain ma'asi that the people make in which the malaika are making dua against him. Which goes to show that the woman forsaking her husband's bed and not listening to his invitation is from the kaba'ir, or the major sins. Now there's another very important point, ikhwan, concerning the aqidah of al-Islam that this hadith gives us. You know what it is? There is a point of our belief system of what we believe about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one of those clear dalil to prove this. And this is one of those ahadith that the student of knowledge should remember for this dalil. And that is, it establishes for us the irtifa' of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fact that Allah ta'ala is above and over the throne. And the proof of that is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, he said in this hadith that if she refuses to come to his bed, then the one who is in the sky becomes angry with her. And in the sky here means over the sky, because as we told you before, the huruf al-jar, the harf al-jar is interchangeable. Ala, fi, min, they all can mean each other. They are interchangeable. So when it says fi sama, inside of the sky, it doesn't mean inside. Here it means ala sama or over the sama. Similar to this hadith are the statements of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in which Allah used the harfu jar fi, which means in, to be in something, but when he used in, he meant above. Similar to this are the two ayat in Surah Al-Mulk. The statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَأَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ أَنْ يَخْتِفَ بِكُمْ الْأَرْضِ فَإِذَا هِيَ تَمُورُ. Are you people safe and secure? Do you feel safe and secure that the one who is in the sama, but here fi sama means over the sky. Do you people feel safe and secure that the one who is over the heavens will not cause the earth to swallow you up? And lo and behold, the mountains and the sky and the earth start to rent asunder. And then the next ayat is similar to that, and Allah Ta'ala said, أَمْ أَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ يُرْسَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ حَاطِبًا فَسَتَعْلَمُونَ كَيْفَ نَذِيرٌ. Or are you people safe and secure that he will not send upon you a great, the one who is in the sky, meaning over the sky, will send a great whirlwind against you? So those حروف الجر على في أمن الحمد لله يهديكم الله ويصلح بالكم. They are interchangeable. So this is a clear proof that establishes the istiwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ar-Rahman ala al-arsh istawa. Ar-Rahman is over his throne. There's a scholar of al-Islam, a well-known scholar that we want you to write his name down, by the name of Muhammad ibn Ajlan, or Ibn Ajlan. He's famous by his name Ibn Ajlan. He died in the year 1057. He's one of the many scholars who gave the explanation of the book Riyadh al-Salihin. Riyadh al-Salihin was one of those books that many of the ulama have taken and explained it, just like Sahih Muslim, Sahih al-Bukhari. Over 300 scholars have given the explanation of Sahih al-Bukhari, but only a few of them are well known, like Ibn Hajar's explanation and Imam al-Sabuni's explanation. Anyway, Ibn al-Ajlan, he gave the explanation of Riyadh al-Salihin, but the problem with his explanation is that Ibn Ajlan was Ash'ari to the second power. He was excessive in his al-Ash'ariyah, and any time he came to a hadith in which an Imam al-Nawawi was talking about the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would change the meaning. And this is one of those ahadith that he changed the meaning. His book, The explanation of Sahih Riyadh al-Salihin, it is the oldest explanation. Everyone else who explained it came after him. If he comes across a hadith that talks about the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he'll say the hand of Allah is Allah's rahmah. The hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Allah's spending or giving to his servants. So he'll make the tahrif or the ta'wil of the meaning of the sifat. Anyway, concerning these particular ahadith, that the one who is in the sky will be angry with her, he said the meaning of that is two things. The one who is in the sky can mean A, the malaika, or B, the one who is in the sky means Allah, but it doesn't mean Allah, it means Allah's sultan, Allah's power, Allah's might. Not Allah would be angry with her, but Allah's power. Because he felt, as the Asha'ira feel, that to attribute these types of characteristics to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is oppressive. Anyway, concerning that, Ikhwan, to say that it's the Malaika, this is a qawlu muhtas, it has no dalil on it whatsoever. And to say that the meaning of the one who is in the sama means Allah's power, this is also a bid'ah, because Allah's power is in the heavens and in the earth. It's not just left for what is in the sky. The meaning of the hadith, according to the correct understanding of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, is that Allah ta'ala is over his throne, and from above the seven heavens, he is angry with the woman who refuses to come to answer the call of her husband when he wants to have relationships with her. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. The next hadith is another hadith of Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, in which it shows the tremendous rights that the husband has over the wife. Abu Huraira said that he heard the Prophet say, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, لا يحل لامرأة أن تصوم وزوجها شاهد إلا بإذنه ولا تأذن في بيتي إلا بإذنه متفق عليه. It is not permissible for a woman to fast while her husband is present except by getting his permission, nor is it permissible for her to allow anyone in his home without getting his permission. That hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. And again, Ikhwan, it clearly shows the tremendous right that the husband has over the woman. Because when the woman wants to get close to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala by making the siyam, if it is a psalm that is from the nawafil or the sunnah fast, it is not permissible for that sister to fast if her husband is present without getting his permission. If her husband is on a trip or her husband is not on the scene, then it's permissible for her to do so without getting his permission. But if he is present, it's not permissible for her to get close to Allah Ta'ala with this form of ibadah until she first seeks the permission of her husband, so that she won't allow his rights to go unanswered. The second part of the hadith also illustrates, and it shows clearly, that from the rights that the husband has over his wife is, it is not permissible for her to allow anyone in his home. That includes her mother, her father, the janitor, whoever it is, a friend. It is not permissible for her to allow anyone in his home without his permission. The ulama have taken this hadith and they stretched it out based upon the other texts, and they say that the man has the right, as well as an extension of this, to determine who his wife can take as friends and as compadres. If the husband said to the wife, I don't want you talking to Fulana bintu Fulan, It's within his right that the wife obeys his order. The next hadith is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. And this hadith is also muttafaqun alayhi. That the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam said, Kullukum ra' wa kullukum mas'ool an ra'iyatihi wal amiru ra'in wal rajul ra'in ala ahli baytihi والمرأة راعية على بيت زوجها وولده فكلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته. He said alayhi salatu wassalam, all of you are shepherds and all of you will be held responsible and accountable for your flock. The Amir al-Mu'mineen, the Hakim, is responsible. He is a shepherd. And the man is a shepherd over those people who are in his house. And the woman is a shepherdess over her husband's house and for his children. All of you are shepherds and all of you will be held accountable for your responsibility, for your flock. This hadith, ikhwan, is from the Mahasin of the Tashri' of Al-Islam. It's from the beauty of the legislation in Al-Islam. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated a religion in which He devised and defined for the members of the Islamic society what their job, responsibility, and duty is, and to who their duty is. A deen of Nizam, a deen of a system and organization. Allah Ta'ala did not leave us except that He defined for us and He explained to us what our responsibilities are and what our jobs are. The man is responsible to feed his family. He is responsible to clothe his family. He's responsible to teach his family and to give them the tarbiyah of al-Islam. He's responsible for physically protecting his family. If a man was to leave his family in a compromising position where they are not being fed properly and they're not being clothed properly or their security is not ensured, he's going to be held accountable for that. And this is something that we need to make as a priority in our lives, because for some reason we still carry a lot of the luggage with us from al-Jahiliyyah, where we minimize the importance of the responsibility that we have to our wives. We tell the brothers over and over and over again, be committed to your family first and foremost when it comes to securing their well-being. Don't give the sadaqah to anyone before you give it to your family when they're in need of it. Don't leave your family to be the responsibility of someone else. The person who does that, he's from the sufaha. That doesn't mean if a brother needs to have some ta'awun or some cooperation with his brothers, the deen is nasiha, the deen and the dunya is a ta'awun, cooperating with each other. A brother needs to be helped, he needs some help, nothing wrong with that, but to be negligent and just to leave your people out there like that without being protected, this is from the actions of the sufaha, the people who are foolish, the people who haven't reached the level of ar-rajula or manhood. The responsibility of the women, as we're explaining now, from them is, as this hadith said, to take care of the husband's home and to take care of his children. And we already explained what taking care of the husband's home entails when we did the talk about whether or not it is obligatory upon the Muslim woman to clean her husband's house and to cook the food and to iron his clothes and to do all of that housework that we know is a necessity to have a home that is a happy home. Another very important point concerning the mas'uliyah, or the responsibility, and that is, let us look at the Amir, who is a ra'in. He is a shepherd. If the Amir chooses not to take care of his responsibility and do the right thing by being just and fair, and he chooses to be oppressive over his subjects, this does not give the subjects the right to say, since he's not doing his responsibility, I'm not going to do mine. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu alaykum anfusukum la yudurrukum man dallu idha ihtadaytum. Oh, you believe you're responsible for your own selves? It does not harm you, those who go astray. Why do we mention this? We mention this because we hear a strange dawah. We hear a strange point of fiqh from some of these jama'at, like the jama'at of Hizb al-Tahrir, whose main concern it is, according to them, to establish the Islamic State and the Khilafah. Nas'al Allah al-Afi wa-Salamah.